And this is the reason why. As I was studying Revelation chapter 4 this week, and I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I teach and work through this chapter? I got to the end of it and studying it and reading it and looking at it. And this is the conclusion that I came with, too. If we don't get Revelation chapter 4 right, we might as well stop studying the book of Revelation. If we don't get this chapter correct, if we don't understand the message that God has given to Jesus, to give to John, to reveal to the churches, that we 2,000 years later can dive into and see that it's for us as well. If we don't get this part right, we might as well just close the book. And I'm excited about this morning because even though I can't sing, one of my favorite things to do is to worship Jesus in song. Some of you are like, oh man, I don't like doing that. I'm going to break through that today. All right? That's the challenge. That's the charge this day. All right? We're going to worship. And there's going to be less of Andy and more of these guys. All right? Because they're a whole lot better at what they do than I am at what I do. All right? So we're going to work through Revelation chapter 4 today. But the thing that I want you to see in Revelation chapter 4 is that it's all about worshiping our almighty and powerful God. And I know I grew up in a very conservative household and conservative church where these arms stood at my side. But I'm telling you today, if you need to go move to another side where nobody else knows you, if you just need to close your eyes and pretend that you're in heaven before God, whatever it takes, I'm just asking you this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to break through whatever is keeping you from connecting to God in a deep way through song to be able to happen this day. And if you want to raise your hands, but you don't want anybody to see, you can raise them down here if you want. All right? And if you want to raise them up here because you've broken through and you don't care what everybody else says, that's fine too. And if you just want to connect to Jesus in your heart because that's where He sees, that's fine too. But I just don't want you to be held back this morning as we just lay ourselves before a holy and awesome God and just worship Him. And just worship Him. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to pray. The worship team's going to sing. I'm going to interrupt them after every song or two. But just pour yourselves out in worship this morning. All right? So let's stand and let me pray and let's have them kick things off. Luke Cyrus, are you here somewhere? I'm going to either have to pray really long.
I just saw him.
You just saw him.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this morning. Thank You that we can come before You. Father, thank You for Revelation chapter 4 because it seems like a pause in the teaching, but really it's the most important teaching in the book of Revelation. That You are an awesome, powerful, mighty, all-knowing Creator God. And Lord, we want to pause for this half hour, 40 minutes, whatever it is, just to lay ourselves before You and honor You and glorify You for who You absolutely are. And I pray that You would break through the exterior of every single person here, that we would come unhindered and unencumbered to the throne of God this morning and just lay ourselves out before You. Because You are a great and mighty God. Please accept our worship and praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, and rumblings, and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. What a beautiful scene. And usually when people read these first five and a half verses of this chapter of Revelation, our eyes are suddenly drawn to, I wonder who those 24 elders are. And there's been a lot of dispute and discussion about who those 24 elders are. In fact, somebody, it was actually Anita, she asked me a couple of weeks ago, so who are the 24 elders? And I just flippantly, top of my head, 12 apostles and 10, the 12 tribes of Israel. Piece of cake. But when you start studying it and diving into it, it's like, well, the Bible never says that's who they are. Why do we suddenly think that? And so we start to think, well, are they the 12 apostles? Well, if they are, how come John didn't see them and say, hey, that's me? Or, hey, seated around the throne, 24 and 12 of them, that's me and 11 of the guys I know. And we say, well, 12 apostles, let's see, there were 12 of them. We know what happened to Judas. I don't think too many of us are probably thinking that he's got one of those seats. And then they replaced him with Matthias, but then Paul calls himself an apostle. Are there 13 of them? And then we consider the 12 tribes of Israel. And if you look through the blessing that Jacob gave to his 12 sons, I'm not sure how well it went for all of them. And what about Joseph? His lot was given to two, his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Do they each have a seat there as well? And sometimes we get bogged down in trying to figure out what is this 24 elders and who are these people? And we can look and say, well, 12 is just some kind of special number of completion in the Bible because we see 12s often. And we're going to see more 12 when it comes to the book of Revelation. But this is what I would focus on when it comes to those 24 elders, because quite frankly, we don't really know who they are. If I had to guess, I would say they represent the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel. Who? I don't know. I just think that's what they represent because it seems to me so obvious. And I think sometimes we cloud the obvious with our own discussions and things, don't you? But this is what I would focus on when it comes to those 24 elders. They were wearing white robes. And what do those white robes represent? Jesus died for them. Jesus died for these guys that should be wearing black clothes because every sin causes us to have this separation from God in this, and we need to be reconciled in that relationship, and that's why he sent Jesus to die for us. And the blood that poured out from Calvary washed our garments white as snow. And the other thing you notice is that they're wearing these gold crowns. That these 24 elders represent some kind of power and authority. We don't just give crowns to anyone, do we? It has to be somebody that's got some kind of special authority or power that we're giving that to. And these are powerful people that are sitting around the throne of God. But then in these first five and a half verses, I would ask you to rewind and say, okay, what did John really see? He saw God sitting on a throne. And he saw it and he said it was like these beautiful emeralds, and these beautiful jewels that were just shining brightly. And they were transparent jewels so that you can almost just like see through it. So God is spirit. And we see this rainbow. And when we see rainbow in the Bible, what do we automatically think of? The ark, right? And Noah comes off the ark. And God put his bow, it says in the Bible, across the sky to remind him as a covenant to say, I'll never destroy the earth again with floodwaters. Well, it's time that we reclaim the rainbow, if you will, and you know what I'm talking about, and that we take that rainbow and we just imagine God sitting on his throne in all of his brilliance. Because, see, the presence of God is brilliant. And the other thing that we notice is that there's a sea of crystal before him, a sea of crystal that you can see right through. And that's to remind us that nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from him. So as you and I are sitting here worshiping this morning, he knows your heart. It's both comforting and convicting at the same time that God knows everything, is it not? Because we know he knows every thought in our heart, or in our mind, and every feeling in our heart about who he is. And as we're here worshiping this morning, he knows how you're feeling about this. And so when we read these first 5.5 verses of Revelation chapter 4. And as we go into the next worship song, I just want you to imagine, as John is, going before the throne and seeing this brilliance on the throne of these special emeralds in the sea of glass that you could see right through, and remember that the presence of God is truly brilliant and nothing will be hidden from Him. We're going to sing again. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to sit, sit. That's fine. I just ask you to lay yourself out in worship. Go ahead, guys.
Oh,
That song says, all the world will shout His praise. So let's give God some praise this morning. Come on. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion. The second living creature like an ox. The third living creature with the face of a man. And the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. Now again, there's some things in this passage that just draw our eyes right to it. Like these four living creatures, are you kidding me? There's going to be these creatures in heaven, and one's going to be like a lion and an ox and a human being and an eagle. And what in the world is that all about? And eyes everywhere? How can this be? And again, I wish I could give you a concrete answer, but if you read 24 different commentaries, guess what? You'll get 24 different answers. Some people have said it represents Jesus, because Jesus was the Lion of Judah. And as the ox, you could also translate that to be lamb, and He was the perfect Lamb of God sacrificed for us. He came to earth as a human being, and then He soars high above all like an eagle. Still others have said it's the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they tie each one of those to their gospel and how it represents Jesus in each one. And still others say, no, it represents all of life. And if you look at the lion, what's the most powerful of the wild animals? It's the king of the jungle, the lion. And what about domesticated animals? They would say the ox is the most powerful and the sheep the most meaningful when it comes to a Jewish person in the Passover. You say, human being, we were given dominion over all things in life. And then the eagle, of course, when you think of birds, it's the most majestic, right? That we think of when it comes to the birds that's flying high, the one that's most powerful. But again, the fact of the matter is all we know is that these four creatures, as powerful as they are and what they represent, are around the throne of God. And when they see Him, they cry out, holy, holy, holy. And they bow themselves before Him. And when they do that, guess what else happens? Those 24 elders with the gold crowns and the white robes, representing authority and power over something, be it the 12 tribes of Israel and the apostles or whatever they represent, they bow before Him too. And more than that, they take their crowns off and they put it at the foot of the throne, humbling themselves before God. See, all the powerful, every powerful person, every person indeed, will eventually bow down and humble themselves before the throne, before God. Every single one of us is going to bow ourselves before God. In Philippians, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So what I want to ask you today, what is that crown that you're holding on to with your pride that is keeping you from truly bowing yourself and pouring yourself before God? And I want to ask you to do this. Just find a piece of scrap paper, maybe in your bulletin, just tear a piece off, and just write the word or the phrase that keeps you from just pouring yourself out before God. What is it about us that is keeping us from fully engaging and fully surrendering to Him? Because again, if we don't get fully surrender right, we might as well close the book on Revelation now. If we don't get that full surrender, is full worship before a holy God, we're going to miss the point. So while the worship team sings the next song, if you got that piece of paper, write it down. Just throw it at the cross over there. Throw it on the stage. Throw it on the ground as if to say, Lord, I'm not going to let this hinder our relationship between You and me, because You are a holy God, and I lay myself before You. I surrender myself before You this morning. Go ahead and sing, guys.
Living God, Spirit of
last part of Revelation chapter 4. It says that after they went and they laid their crowns before the throne, this is what they said: "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you did what? Created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Worthy are you, O Lord, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Holy and worthy is the Lord, because he created all things." Because he created all things. You know, one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible is Genesis 1:1, the one that kicks everything off. And it says what? "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And we have this visual of our awesome and powerful and holy God just speaking things into existence. How many of you remember having shop class in high school? Remember, they took that away, didn't they? Yeah, in middle school too, right? We had shop class. And I don't know why my mind remembers this. I don't know why I can forget where my car keys are, but I remember this moment for some reason. But when they had shop class in high school, if I'm not mistaken, each year they would display all those projects that the students made during the year. And I remember one year going, I think it was to the high school, to see all the projects, and Dan Ferrier had made this roll-top desk. Is that right? And I just remember looking at it and thinking, man, how in the world could you see that out of some hunks of wood? I don't get it. How can you be able to draw up plans and figure out and put all that together so that, and a roll-top one, it actually worked. How in the world did you do that? And I'm just amazed at how some people can just take wood and create and make it into something like that. Steve Mathis is building a house right now, and I get called, I get worked over really by Jeff Badgerow once every 2 weeks to come and help with something. And he'll call and say, "Hey, Andy, da-da-da-da, are you on the hook yet?" "What, Jeff? What do you want, Jeff?" And he says, "I need your help for about an hour." "All right, man, I'll come over." All he had to do was ask, right? So I go over, and they say, "Get this ladder and put it here." So I put the ladder. "Climb up that ladder." So I climb up the ladder. "Push this wood." I push that wood. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know what the finished product. I can't see the house. I have no clue what they're doing on this roof. And then I'm up there. All I know is I'm dangling with one arm over here and pushing. I'm just kidding. They make it safe for you, right? But I so admire that Jeff and Steve and Jeff Trable and all these guys, and they can just see from blueprints, and they can see this house that they've made, and I'm just amazed by it. Folks, how much more should we not step out of our house every single day and just throw our hands up and say, "Whoa! How can we serve such an awesome and powerful God? How can he be so amazing to make that tree grow and make that leaf turn a color and fall and give Andy heartache all fall along? How does he do that?" Because he is awesome and he's powerful and he's worthy of our praise because he created it all. And folks, I'm telling you, and we don't see this in Revelation 4, how awesome and powerful and brilliant that our God is, and just want to fall before him and worship him. The rest of Revelation makes zero sense whatsoever. But it's only because he's an awesome and powerful God that we can worship him. And not just on a Sunday morning with a beautiful choir and instruments and band and playing and singing, but just stepping out of bed in the morning and just giving him praise for who he absolutely is. Because there's only one God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, may we never, ever, ever forget or stop humbling ourselves before him and worshiping him. Thank you. Give the worship team a big hand this morning. Folks, I know I'm passionate about worship, but I truly believe that if we just sit back for a second, pause every morning, and just remember who God is, it will take us to such a deep place of worship that regardless of what trials and obstacles and things that we're going through, we'll be able to place them at the feet of Jesus and just allow Him to take over. He'll bring healing. He'll bring comfort. He can take those things away. But more importantly, all of our focus will be on Him as it should be. I want to thank you for being here today. I'm going to pray for us. Is Kevin Davis here? Kevin Dev here? All right. I'm going to ask, after I pray, that the elders will come up with Kevin and Deb Davis. We want to share something with you. Worship team, as I pray, you're welcome to exit if you like. But thank you again for leading us in worship in that way. May I give a hand again? So let me pray. Father, again, thank you so much for this morning. And I pray that you would receive our worship well. I pray that each person here, that it was heartfelt. That it was from our insides, just pouring ourselves out to you, because you are so holy and so worthy of our praise and our worship. And Father, I pray that it doesn't stop here, that in every moment of every day, we're never stop seeking you and giving you praise for who you are, because everywhere around us is a reminder of how awesome and powerful you are as our God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.